Marriage Today presents God's Laws of Love by Jimmy Evans.
Love in our society has become a very fickle thing and something that a lot of people say that you can't understand. You know, nobody knows, you know, about love. And if once you've fallen out of love, you can't get it back or anything like that. Here's the problem with that belief system. 1 John 4 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who is born of God, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Listen, for God is love. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so here's the problem. If love is a fickle thing that you can't control, God is love. If we're saying love is fickle, there's something wrong with love. You can't measure it, you can't control it. God is love. That, you're saying God's fickle. You know, God's weird. You can't predict God. And that's not true. There are laws of love that God has established. And what this means is love is in our control. I'm not saying we control God, but God gave us laws of love in the Bible that determine the level of our relationship. So let me go through these very quickly. The number one law of love is the law of sowing and reaping. In the very beginning, in Genesis 1, God told Adam and Eve that their future depended upon them sowing and reaping. He said, "I've given you seed. The way you're going to take dominion over the world is you're going to sow these seed that I've given you until you fill the entire world." Galatians chapter 6 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." So the Apostle Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And that word mock there means to throw your nose up at God. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. Whether you sow it sinfully or whether you sow it righteously, everything that you sow in life is going to come back to you. So here are the four deceptions concerning the law of sowing and reaping. And these are very common in marriage. Number one, I cannot sow and get a crop. I cannot sow love into my spouse. I cannot sow the right things and I can still get a crop. Here's another deception. I can get a good crop from bad seed. In all of my years of counseling, I've never had a person come to me and say to me, "You know, Jimmy, we got in a big fight last night. My spouse cussed me up side one side and down the other. And boy, it helped." I mean, that right in the middle then cussed me out. The light came on and I could just see clearly for the first time. I'm just so thankful I married someone who's willing to cuss me out when I need it. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you sow a bad word, you're going to reap a bad result from that. But if you sow a good word, you're going to get a good result. Number three, deception, is sowing good seed won't work. And some people say, "Well, not in my marriage, it won't work. No, not in my situation." And you say, "Well, you need to do the right thing." Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I can get many harvests out of one sowing. That's another deception. I shouldn't have to work at my marriage all the time. I worked at it at the beginning, and that should be enough, no? You have to keep sowing and reaping, okay? But here are the ways that we sow into each other's lives. Here are the three different types of seed that we sow. Number one is word seed, and it's the most powerful seed that you sow in your marriage. Proverbs 18, and this is interesting. "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth," and fruit means the result of seed. A man's stomach is going to be satisfied from the seed that returns back to him. "From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Listen to this next verse. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." When Karen and I got married, I was verbally abusive. I was terrible in the way that I talked to Karen. And I destroyed my wife with my mouth. I destroyed my marriage with my mouth. And the way that our marriage was changed, one of the main ways that our marriage was changed, is I had to change the way that I talked to Karen. Not doing the wrong things that I'd done before, but beginning to sow good words into Karen. Listen, every good marriage has good words spoken in that marriage. A bad marriage either has no words spoken or bad words spoken. But it's disproportionate. The power of life and death is in our tongue. And it's interesting to me that in that same text, it says, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. Matthew 12, Jesus says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, Jesus says that our hearts are trees and that our mouth produces fruit. And here's what I'm saying. You know your heart by your words. A loving heart produces loving words. A kind heart produces kind words. A caring heart produces caring words. A mean heart produces mean words. A dirty heart produces dirty words. Jesus says, make the tree good and its fruit good, because you have to start at the root, not the fruit. Make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. A man is known by the fruit of his mouth. Okay, so in our marriages, we need to understand every word that I speak is saying something about my heart. And if there's something coming out of my mouth that is bad, I've got to go to the root of that and forgive somebody, repent of something, and make sure that the nature of my heart remains positive so that I'm saying positive words into the relationship. Fear and all of those kinds of things produce in us the wrong words that hurt each other that we never should say. It should be faith, a heart of faith, that I'm going to sow good seed into you, believing that when I speak good words into you, that I'm going to get a harvest from that. The number two kind of seed that we sow is spirit seed. Now listen to Scripture. Luke 6, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who mistreat you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. This is your spirit. Everyone has a spirit. Everyone has an attitude. And so to Karen, I have a spirit toward Karen. And if I get offended toward Karen, if Karen says something or does something and I get offended toward her and don't forgive her, it doesn't matter if I say a word or don't say a word, my spirit's going to exchange with her. My attitude is going to affect her. So I'm saying you have a spirit that can be smelled even if it can't be seen. And your spirit is constantly sowing into the people around you. And so you come up to a gracious person. How many of you like being around gracious people? You know what you like about gracious people is their spirit. You can sense a gracious person's spirit when you come around them, but you don't want to be around a spiteful person, do you? Even if they don't say a word, you can sense their spirit even when you don't run around them. So I'm going to keep my spirit right, because I'm going to get a return on what my spirit does to Karen Evans. When I'm around Karen, I want to be her safe place. I want to be her favorite person, and I want her to know I'm for her and I love her in good times and bad. So my spirit, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He's talking about your spirit. When you sow love, when you sow kindness, when you sow graciousness and favor, that comes out of your spirit and it brings return. And here's what Jesus said, by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you in return. Okay, let me say something. God doesn't decide how blessed I am, I do. See, every time we do what we do, we're creating a measure in heaven, whether we realize it or not. And a measure means like a scoop. And so you're praying and you're saying, God bless me. And God says, I want to bless you so bad. Angel, would you bring me Jimmy's measure over here? And the angel walks over and it's a thimble. Jimmy's kind of a Scrooge. He kind of has a tight, he's real tight. He kind of has a stingy spirit and says, son, I love you so much. Now, according to your standard of measure, I'm going to measure it back to you in return. And so God, takes my thimble and puts it in his blessing jar, and he pours it out on me, and I'm saying, Lord, would you bless me? It's like a bird flew over. I get hit. I say, what was that? That's your blessing, son. I don't want that. When I pray, I want to say, Lord, bless me. And the Lord turns and says, angel, would you bring me Jimmy's measure? And the angel says, it'll take several of us, Lord. Because he's got a big measure. Jimmy has a generous spirit. Anybody want that? God doesn't decide how blessed you are. You do. So if you want it to be returned back to you, watch your spirit, because you're exchanging whether you realize it or not. The third seed is me seed. I'm sowing myself. God didn't give us something. He gave us himself. In the early years of our marriage, Karen didn't have me. Karen didn't have me. And she, when I came in from working and playing golf and I was exhausted and not talking, she wanted me. She didn't want me sitting in the living room not communicating and tired and not giving. She wanted my heart. Karen fought for my heart and always has, and I appreciate that about her. God gave us himself. We love God because God gave us himself. He didn't give us something. He gave us himself. God sowed himself to us, and he wants us to sow our lives back into him. God wants us. He doesn't want something that represents us. He wants us. And so your spouse will never be satisfied until they have you. Your heart, that you're investing your life within your marriage. And when our marriage changed is when I took my life away from all the other things, mainly work and golf, and I turned it back and I gave it to Karen. So sowing and reaping is true. And we have word seed, spirit seed, and us seed. And to the degree that we sow those into our marriage, we're going to have a return. I have to go very quickly. Number two is the law of measure. You reap according to the measure that you've sown. And given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, will be measured back to you. Well, I wanted Karen, early in our marriage, I wanted more sex, and I wanted it with a better attitude. Okay. And Karen, you know, Karen met my sexual needs, but it just wasn't, and I was playing golf, I was being an idiot and all that stuff. So I would not be affectionate with her. She wanted me to be affectionate with her, and I didn't know how to be affectionate. And she wanted me to talk to her, and I thought she was nosy, and I didn't want to feed the monster. But I wanted great sex with a great attitude. Okay. So I would not sow into her needs, but I wanted to reap a big harvest. So when I went in to repent to Karen, and I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the things I've said and done. I'm hanging up my golf clubs. I'm not going to play golf anymore. And I did that. I changed. And I learned to be affectionate. The Holy Spirit taught me how to be affectionate to Karen. And I began to sacrifice to meet Karen's needs. Well, I couldn't believe the result of that. It just helped a big time. And I would have been more Jesus-like years earlier if I'd have... I'd have known that. But any smart farmer knows it's not how much seed you got in the barn, it's how much seed you got in the ground. You have the ability to meet your spouse's needs. And to the degree that you take that seed out of the barn and sow it into your spouse, according to your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you in return. And I'm not saying that you ought to stand in the house and say, well, I can't meet your needs because you didn't meet mine. Jimmy said that you hadn't sown into me, I can't give it back to you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what the law says. Number three, the law of investment. You reap where you sow. You don't just reap what you sow, you reap where you sow. Jesus, Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me teach you about two words. The word treasure there does not mean gold or silver or jewels. It's the word thesaurus. It means treasury. It means where you put your valuables. Jesus says where your thesaurus is, where you're investing your valuables, there will your cardia, your heart, be also the seat of your passions, cardia. Wherever you are investing yourself, your passion will be there also. My passion was on the golf course. When Karen and I got married, we were out of love. I mean, we just didn't have any, we fought all the time. We were out of love. But my passion was on the golf course. See, your passions tell on you. And what Jesus says here is wherever your treasure is, your passion's going to be there. See, your passion tells on you. We should be passionate about Jesus, number one. If you give Jesus the first of your time, talent, and treasures, your passion's going to stay with Jesus. Let me say it another way. Givers never backslide. Because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you give God the best of your time, talent, and treasure, it locks your passion with Jesus. And He stays number one in your life. When you give your spouse the time and energy that they deserve, your passion stays within your marriage. But when you take the best of your life, if you sow into your children, you reap there. If you sow into your work, you reap there. You should sow into your children. You should sow into your work. Never taking away from God in your marriage. God is first, your marriage is second, your children are third, church is fourth, work, friends, everything else is down the list. And if I don't sow down here, I'm absolutely going to sow here, but I'm not going to take this and sow it somewhere else. Because if I take away from God and sow it over here, my passion will leave God and come over here. If I take away from my marriage for the sake of my children or work or something else, my passion is going to leave my marriage and it's going to come over here. So the law is this. If I sow in my marriage, I'll stay passionate about my marriage. When two people are sowing into their marriage, guaranteed you're going to stay passionate about your marriage relationship. You reap where you sow. Okay? It's called the law of investment. Number four, the law of return. All seed has a germination period and will return in a harvest in due season. Galatians 6. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. And then it says in verse 9, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Well, I had a man in counseling came in and he said, Jimmy, I've been a jerk. I've been terrible to my wife. And now she's wanting to divorce me and everything. And he says, but I want to keep her. And I said, okay. So I talked with him about, you know, how he could go home. I said, go home. Tell your wife you're sorry, repent to her. He said, oh, I did that. And I said, good, well, just go home and meet her needs and love on her show her that you're a changed person. And I said, well, come back and see me in a week or two. So he came back to see me the next time. He said, we're just going to go ahead and get a divorce. And I said, why? And he said, I tried that for a week and it didn't work. Well, in due season. All seed has a germination period. And farmers have to be very patient. When you sow, you may be going through a difficult time in your marriage. And a woman wrote us a letter and she said, my husband and I are going through a terrible time and he shut down communication. And it wasn't because of her, it was because of something else that was going on in his life. He went into depression, kind of went into a shell. And she said, I realized the only way to him was through sex. And she said, and I decided rather than getting mad and withdrawing, I was going to sow into his life sexually because it was my only point of contact with him. And her story was, it took a period of time, but her husband came out. Their marriage is better than it's ever been because she was a wise woman who, through a difficult period of time, kept sowing into her husband rather than getting her feelings hurt and walking away. Farmers have to be patient. All seed has a due season. And when you're doing the right thing, when you're sowing, and your spouse isn't doing what you're doing. They're not as interested as you are. But you're sowing into your marriage. This is what Karen did. You're sowing into your marriage. You're sowing into your marriage. The devil will come to you and say, there's no hope for you. You need to get out of this. They're never going to change. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. In due season, you're going to reap. Don't grow weary in well-doing. That's why the devil comes to discourage us, is he wants us to believe that it's not going to work for us. There was a woman that I worked out at a place for years, and there was a woman that sat at the front counter of this place, and she had the personality of a rattlesnake. And that's, I want to apologize to all the rattlesnakes, because she was the meanest woman I've ever met in my entire life. And you just learned, don't talk to her. Don't even look at her, you know. And so I walked into this place where I worked out, and she scowled at you if you looked at her, you know. And so I decided one day, I'm gonna crack that nut. And it annoyed her a lot. But every day when I walked in and patted the counter in front of her and said, how are you doing today? And she gave me a dirty look. And every day when I walked out, I walked by and patted the counter and I said, bye, I'll see you tomorrow. Never looked up, never said a word. This went on for years. And, oh yeah. One day I was running late and I was trying to get home and I was walking out the door to go home and I had my hand on the front door and as I was pushing the door out, I heard these words, "Goodbye, Mr. Evans." And it was her. The meanest woman I ever knew. I sowed kindness into her, and she didn't sow it back to me. But years later, she spoke a kind word. I don't know what happened to that woman in her past, but probably something really terrible. It's probably some man hurt her very deeply. And my words were sowing kindness back into her. Don't grow weary in well-doing. In due season, you're going to get it back if you don't lose heart, if you don't lose faith in God. Law number five is the law of grace. Now listen to this very quickly. 2 Corinthians 9. "This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Why? Paul is taking an offering here for the saints in Jerusalem. And he's saying, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, would have an abundance for every good work. Well, Karen and I, there have been times that we've given offering to the Lord that we wanted a financial harvest to come back from that. And we were believing for that, and we've seen miracles in that regard. But there came a point in our lives where we didn't need a financial miracle. We were giving an offering, but we needed a different grace. And we have 5 grandchildren, and 4 of them were born after years of waiting on them because of infertility. And we remember, Karen and I remember, when we gave offerings to the Lord where we were sowing, and we said, "We don't need money, Lord. We're believing for a harvest for a grandchild. We pray that you'd help both our daughter and son-in-law and our son and daughter-in-law when they were dealing with infertility." And we have 5 grandchildren. We have a bonus child. We have a bonus baby. But I need honor. I need sex. I need Karen to be my buddy. And I need domestic support. Karen needs security. She needs communication. She needs soft, non-sexual affection. And she needs leadership. See, I don't need what she needs. But here's what God promises. When you give graciously to meet a need that you don't have, God will return that in the grace that you need. See, the people that Paul was taking the offering from, the Corinthians, they had money. The saints in Jerusalem didn't have money. So he was saying, out of your abundance, give so that we can meet their need. They gave money. And here's what Paul promises. God's able to return that to you in the grace that you need. You may need the grace of health. You may need the grace of prosperity or promotion. You may need whatever grace that you need. So when I come to Karen, and this is what I did when we first got married, I rejected her because she was different than me. And I was not willing to give her the grace that she needed, believing that when I sowed into her, that God was able to meet the grace that I needed. And so when you meet each other's needs in marriage, it's the law of grace. If I want my needs met, I need to meet somebody else's needs. If I want God to return this to me, I need to meet the needs of my spouse that they have.
This concludes session 3. Please continue with Dream Givers, the next teaching in this series.